This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bombastic, audacious, revolutionary, rash, outraged, organised, assertive, activist.
Broad.
On Joy 94.9.
I'm Rose Mize. I'm listening to Broad on Joy 94.4 FM. 94.9. Okay,
perfect.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Hi, I'm Rose Mize. I'm the director of Girl Asleep. You're listening to Broad on Joy FM 94.9.
This is Sonia from Broad on Joy 94.9, speaking to Nicholas Maximo, talking about Russian Resurrection. It's on again this year, and it's already started. November 10th, it runs to, and I want to welcome you to the show. Thanks for coming on, Nicholas.
It runs to the 20th.
The Russian Resurrection runs from the 10th of November to the 20th. So, and one of them, of course, is really interesting, the Queen of Spades, the Dark Rite. What can you tell us about that one? That looks a bit, it's a bit different from...
Yeah, not your usual... film, I suppose, you'd see in a Russian film festival. But it's a little horror film that was made in Russia earlier this year and did quite well. It actually took everyone by surprise in Russia. It ended up being the number one sort of local horror film, not only in Russia, but also the former Commonwealth of Independent States.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a great little film just about some teenagers who get together. They know that there's this rite, this ritual where they can call out the Queen of Spades by sitting in front of a mirror.
Right.
And so they call her out and basically she does appear and then terrible things start to happen.
Yes, well, that's what you hope for in this type of horror. But yeah, it's a great little film actually, and it does a lot of the tropes but turns them on their heads. I've been lucky to see it. Of course, I'm not going to give it away too much, obviously. But urban legends, urban myths, it reminds me a bit of almost a little bit X-File-y as well. Really interesting. So with this director, of course, I'm lousy at saying names. So what's happened to them since then? I mean, obviously this film, because it's been so big in back in Russia.
Yeah, so it screened, as I mentioned, earlier this year in Russia at the Russian box office and former Commonwealth Independent States. And I believe it has picked up sort of DVD distribution and video on demand in UK as well. Yeah, and obviously this is an opportunity to see it here as part of Russian Resurrection.
You're also playing, of course, Ivan the Terrible Parts 1 and 2. That's a really wonderful thing to see that on the screen, the big screen.
Yeah, Eisenstein's, people call it a masterpiece. Obviously, it's a film that's studied at film schools around the world. What in particular we should mention, too, is that this film, along with Alexander Nevsky, have been digitally remastered thanks to Moss Film. They screened earlier this year at the Cannes Film Festival as part of their remastered program, and we're lucky to secure it for our audiences here in Australia.
Now, because we're a women's show, can you tell us of any highlights that specifically look at women in Russia and stories?
Oh, definitely. There's quite a few films, that have a, I suppose, woman's flavour to them.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, House for Rent, which is a Chekhovian tale, actually, about three women who end up hiring the same sort of villa in a seaside town, not knowing that, they've all rented this villa to stay at the same time from the same person. And they all sort of rock up and then develops into a bit of a relationship film where the three women, converse, talk about love, talk about children, and it's a bit of a romp tale, but something I think that will appeal to female audiences, as will of course No Borders, film that's sort of basically short novellas, if you know what I mean, short stories that at the beginning sort of aren't connected, but as you watch the film, all the characters seem to suddenly gel together and the stories fit in together. And it's a light romantic sort of comedy, again about sort of the universal theme of love. Yeah, set in Moscow and Armenia and Georgia, all around New Year's Eve. So
places that politically, I guess, you wouldn't really hear that much of normally in popular culture, Armenia and places like Georgia as much. Interesting. Looking at indemnity, is it? Indemnity? Indemnity. Yes. I can't say it properly.
No.
Good for radio.
Indemnity. It's a mystery, basically. It's a mystery film sort of done in Agatha Christie style.
Mm.
Except that, you know, it's not a whodunit per se, because there wasn't a murder, but it's basically a diamond has been stolen, you know, in St. Petersburg in sort of, you know, late 18th century. And all the characters are summoned in by a police inspector, and they start to unravel that who actually has stolen this diamond. Yeah.
No, interesting time frame too, I guess, during the
very much so.
During the revolution and things like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, it looks like a very, very good festival this year. Not that it never is, but what's one of the big ones you think that people will really appeal the most?
I actually think that it is a very strong program, a lot stronger than, you know, we had, say, the last couple of years. Obviously, you know, films like Icebreaker and Flight Crew.
Yeah.
You know, sort of the big budget blockbuster films, I imagine, will appeal to wide audiences. But then there's a few sleepers, which, you know, some of which we've discussed, such as Indemnity and House for Rent. And, I think it's a good mix.
Yeah. No Borders does look fantastic too. Just reading more on it now. Great. Okay. And for your role as doing the program, you know, the struggles to get these films on time and all of that sort of thing. How have you found it this year?
Touch wood, it's been okay. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Touch wood, it's been okay. you know, usually our problems are to just negotiate with distributors and producers, you know, because they want, you know, sometimes astronomical fees that, you know, a festival like ours just can't afford.
Yes,
right. And that's when you have to negotiate terms and things like that. So that's probably our most difficult component of organising the festival.
But look, how many years has it been running now?
This is our 13th year.
That's amazing. That is really cool. Been to a couple, not that many, but 13 is really good. That's great. And how long have you been involved with it, Nicholas?
Oh, I've actually been involved right from the start, yeah.
Right. Okay.
And what's good is our whole team has pretty much been involved from the you know, very start. We sort of know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and it's a good little team.
And of course, for those who are of Russian background or are Russian themselves, this is a great time, I guess, for people to get together, see what's going on in films, and catch up on some of the more historical films, like you've got King Lear from 1970 as well, 1971, sorry. So it's good that you have that sort of looking back, sort of retro aspect to the festival.
Yeah, like we've always sort of, I suppose one of our aims for Russian Resurrection has always been to celebrate not only new but old, classic Russian films. As you mentioned, I think, a cultural festival as this, which showcases, you know, good quality Russian films, is exciting to see and interact with, because, you know, obviously politically times are a bit, I suppose, on the tough side with Russia at the moment, the Western Russia. But, from a cultural point of view, I'm quite confident that, you know, times are strong. Yeah, it's a good opportunity for people to come and see a Russian film and then chat about it. And, yeah.
That's cool.
That's the best way to see films, I think, on the big screen.
I know. All right. Look, Nicholas, thank you so much for speaking to us. We'll probably wrap it up now. I don't want to keep you. But good luck with the festival. All the best. Hope it goes from strength to strength. And it runs from started now, and it goes to the 20th of November. How can people find out more?
Just jump onto our website, which is RussianResurrection.com. Or if you want, you can also jump onto the acme.net.au website, all the information on those two sites.
Cool, thank you. That's great. Thanks for speaking to us on Broad. The 1986 women's mural from Bombonera to Barbed Wire on Smith Street was defaced early this year. Responding to the community outcry following its destruction, the Women's Mural Documentation Project is capturing your reactions to this defacement and to the 30-year history of the significant feminist mural. Danielle and Sally from the Women's Art Register want to hear from you. Get in touch, thewomensmuralproject@gmail.com. A community message supported by Broad and Joy 94.9.
Thank you. You've been listening to a broadcast on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.